Let us pray. Holy God, open our hearts and minds to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. Show us your wisdom, your love, and your calling. Remind us of your source of life, love and healing that is already given to us. Amen. Today, I would like to share about our healing ministry. For the last several months, we have had amazing experiences in the group, in the healing group. Not only healing group, we have wonderful ministries in this church. We have wonderful small group ministries. We have wonderful group of meditation and meditation groups and men's support groups. But if we don't have time to share what's happening there, you may have no idea what's going on there. So I decided to speak about it today, even though it is not easy to explain what we have been experiencing with words alone. We officially started the healing ministry here at Gilmore Park. Is it okay? Okay. Last October, following the Healing Pathway or Phase 1 workshop, healing touch, sometimes it's called therapeutic touch. It's an energy-based approach to healing. Practically, it works to restore the balance of the energy field which surround each person. So we are surrounded by energy, specific energy. So we work for energy. There are several streams of healing or therapeutic touch rooted in many faith traditions from ancient times. But our healing ministry is a part of Healing Pathway, which was established within the United Church of Canada in late 1980s. By the people who understood healing as the most important part of Jesus' ministry. Personally, I received the first training at Naramata Center in 2007, so almost 10 years ago. And since then, I have been involved in a healing group at Northwood United Church in Surrey because I was living in and serving the church in Surrey. When I first joined the group, my English was so poor. And sometimes I cause terrible misunderstandings in the group. But I gradually recognized that I became deeply connected with the friends at the healing group through God's healing energy, beyond the differences of language and culture. When I was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 years ago, those friends visited me before and after my surgery to offer the healing sessions. And they had supported me during my medical leave. Without their support, I could not have gotten through all the stressful medical tests and radiation treatment following the surgery. Since I had been held and supported through the healing sessions, I could feel peaceful during the time, even though my energy was low and had troubles getting enough sleep because of the treatment. Although I was physically isolated from you, this faith community, during the medical leave, I could feel your love. I could touch your compassion and prayers for me because my sense of invisible energy was ever cultivated. So I had a strong sense of calling to establish healing ministry here at Gilmore Park to share what I received with people in this faith community. Currently, in our healing group, we have Diane Newton and myself as practitioners, and we have Uli and Laura and Sandy participating regularly, and sometimes we have another visitors. Usually, people who wish to receive the healing sessions make appointment and visit the healing group just to receive and leave right after the session. However, our amazing ladies, Uli, Laura, Sandy, are coming not as recipients, but as participants. At the beginning, we start from grounding meditation. And each one received a healing session and holds the healing energy in the room until the end. So those participants stay from the beginning to the end. It was not my intention, but it naturally happened. So I think I have deeply touched the meaning of wholeness, and the meaning of wholeness has deeply touched me through the experiences of last several months. As healing touch practitioners, we receive trainings to learn specific skills of healing touch, but we don't try to fix the problems of the people. It's not our role. Instead, we just open ourselves to God's healing love and passion to make us whole. Now, whenever we gather and hold the healing sessions, I can feel that the source of life is already given to us. And God makes us whole through profound peace. I believe that our participants have had similar experiences and just enjoy the time to be in God's healing love and energy. I know it's not easy for some of you to understand what we experience just by hearing our words. So I would like to invite you to our healing group anytime if you are interested. As Jesus said to his first disciples, come and see. Sometimes you need to come and see what's going on. Today's story of 2 Kings chapter 5 is known as the healing story of the Gentile Naaman. However, I found that not only Naaman himself, but also some people around him are involved in his healing. And I can see the important elements which make healing possible in this story. First of all, there is an unnamed slave girl from Israel who courageously talks to her mistress, Naaman's wife. If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. We can see her strong belief and trust in God from her words. Israel and Aram had been in a long-term conflict because their conflict is happening around the border all of the time, as same as today. Once Israel was defeated, the girl was captured and brought to Aram to become a slave. Even so, she didn't lose her trust in God, the source of life. And she kept her belief that God's healing is available for anyone. The strong trust and belief of the girl opened the door for Naaman to his healing journey. Secondly, we can recognize the prompt response of Naaman. Without any doubt or hesitation, Naaman goes to the king of Aram to tell the words of the servant girl, and immediately the king writes a letter to the king of Israel. Such openness of Naaman is very essential for the healing. Interestingly, the king of Israel is described as the least faithful person in this story, but the prophet Elisha never loses the opportunity to show God's life-giving presence. Naaman expects Elisha to come to him, touch him, and heal him. However, Elisha doesn't show up, but just gives him the instruction, go, wash in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman gets angry and almost turns away from his healing. Now, we need to recognize another courageous servant boy, young servant of Naaman. Father, did the prophet tell you to do something difficult? No, it's easy. He just said, wash and be clean. Why don't you try it? Naaman listens to his young servant. It's amazing. He washes his body 7 times in the river Jordan as Elijah told to him. and he's healed. Naaman is healed. His flesh is restored like the flesh of a young boy, and now he's clean. Naaman's healing story shows us that trust and openness, trust in God, the source of life, and openness to God's life-giving healing action are important elements of healing. And also this story shows healing happening in emphatic and authentic relationship of the people. Although people have been divided by so many differences, such as class, race, gender, wealth, language, education from ancient times, as part of God's creation, we are equally human. We receive the source of life equally, and we are given healing love equally. The servant girl, the most vulnerable person in this story, knows this truth. And she can guide Naaman to his healing journey. Naaman's young servant also talks to him as an equal human rather than as a servant. So we are called to be church and called to be a healing group to share, remember, remind, and recover God's love, source of life, and healing with each other. Naaman was healed. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy. However, I dare to say, healing is not curing, but much more than that. Healing is not a one-time curing, but a lifelong journey to be whole in God's sight, or probably to be a true image of God. During my medical leave, I have received much support from the friends of the healing group, but at the same time, we had to deal with the quick declining and death of the husband of one of our friends. Although he had never received a healing session before, one day he asked us to offer the group healing session. We visited him, five of us surrounded him, worked together, praying for God's healing love and energy. During the session, I could sense his deep, deep trust in God. And also, I could feel we are all connected with God's profound peace. A few days later, he was in the hospital, and we knew that the time had come. We visited him in a hospital, but soon we left him with his family and gathered somewhere else to send him blessings. Although he was not present in front of us, we could visualize him and bless his body, spirit, remembering all of what he had done and who he was. Then we said goodbye to him and released him into God's eternally loving and caring hands. The next morning, he passed away. It was so sudden and sad, but we could share a deep sense of gratitude with each other. We still miss him, but we also know that his spirit is living in us and keeps inspiring us. It was a remarkable experience in my healing journey. And I learned God's healing could transform the most difficult time of our lives into the most graceful and beautiful one. Friends, God has already given and is giving us the source of life. And healing is possible for any one of you, anytime. Anywhere. May God open our bodies, hearts, minds, and all of who we are to God's healing love. May the light of Christ guide us to a lifelong healing journey. May the Holy Spirit unite us as healing community. Amen. Let's sing.